and this is the introduction to the podcast. Perhaps it's the first thing you're seeing. There is an audio-only version of this podcast. It's available on every podcasting platform. For this one, rather than hearing it only, you may wish to go to the YouTube channel, Buddhist Books Podcast, and watch the introduction. Okay, this will be in three parts. First, introducing the introduction. Second, introducing myself. And third, we'll dive in a bit into the podcast and how you can navigate it. So, first, the introduction to the introduction. I started Buddhist Books Podcast in December of 2021. And then in March of 2022, I recorded an introduction just to kind of let people know what it was. Then a year later, March of 2023, I thought, hey, you know, there's a lot that's been going on in the past year on Buddhist Books Podcast. I should re-record the introduction. And now it's March of 2024. And once again, a lot has happened in the past year. And so I thought I should, update the introduction. So that's what this is. Moving on to part two, introducing myself. I am a student of Buddhism, not a teacher. So I'm introducing myself just so you know who this is that's talking to you, who's sitting in front of you. I will, on this podcast, be reading aloud the scriptures. That's where the authority of Buddhism is in the scriptures that happen to be coming through my mouth, but don't mistake me for any kind of authority on the subject. I am learning at the same time that you're learning. Perhaps you are much further ahead on your journey than I am. Basically, my dad, that's my dad with me, he was a self-identified Buddhist, and he raised me with a practice that could be termed a form of Tibetan yoga. Chanting exercise with certain kinds of breathing and chanting and bells ringing and things like that. I only know the name of his teacher and the name of his teacher's teacher. I don't know exactly what the lineage is, but it resembles Nyingma, I think. So enough about that. My dad passed away when I was 15, and then I was kind of on my own journey. Later in life, I kind of fell in love with Dogen. I'm speaking quickly so people don't get bored and click away. I hope you don't mind. I read all of Shobo Genzo, the Zen master's commentaries on everything in Buddhism that he could think to give a lecture about, and someone was writing it all down. And one thing he was a stickler about was sitting in lotus positions. So I started doing a lot of yoga, eventually became a yoga teacher, specifically so that I could sit in lotus position to meditate properly, according to Master Dogen. And then eventually I was in a position in life where I had the opportunity to sell everything, give everything away, and leave California. So I, of course, went to Lumbini, Nepal. There's me at Lumbini, Nepal, to begin my Buddhist journey. And that's the birthplace of the Buddha. And I spent a number of months there and went to Bhutan as well. And then decided to continue my pilgrimage, which of course would take me to Bodh Gaya. So I came into India and I ended up meeting a woman from very close to Bodh Gaya. And that was quite unexpected. And long story short, we were married a year later and we have settled in India. And we're about to celebrate our six-year anniversary of having met when I arrived in India. Over time, I collected a great deal of Buddhist books, and they sat on the shelf, and then I decided that a good way to motivate myself to read them, and I wanted to read them kind of in order, starting with the oldest and working my way forward. A good way to motivate myself to do that would be to start this thing called Buddhist Books Podcast. And there we've gone full circle, and I've introduced the podcast, introduced myself, or did the introduction to the introduction, introduced myself, and now we can talk about the podcast. So I began with Dhammapada. The first six episodes are Dhammapada, and then from 7 through 22 is the Lotus Sutra. I did not finish the Lotus Sutra. Now, generally, if you are, after watching this introduction, if you start with episode 1 and then work your way forward to 215, which is where we are in my present time as I'm speaking to you, you will have a particular kind of experience that kind of mirrors the experience I had in recording it. And that's an option. However, you may not want to take that path, and that's what I'm getting to. After the end of this introduction, you'll have an idea where you might want to jump in the podcast. So I read a bit of Lotus Sutra, and it talked a lot about how, you know, everything that that came before, just forget about that. And I thought, I only know Dhammapada. You know, what more is there? And so I discovered the Tipitaka, the three baskets of Presectarian Early Buddhism. And this is where I can bring in the six icons. There used to be five, now there's six. So Presectarian Early Buddhism is over here. This particular image is of the Dharma wheel. Technically, that stone depiction of the Dharma wheel comes from the period of King Ashoka. But I use it here on this podcast to represent Presectarian Early Buddhism, and I use this image of King Ashoka to represent Theravada. So differentiating between these two, this Presectarian Early Buddhism is when there was only one Sangha, when it was Lord Buddha, and he was teaching the monks and nuns in the original Sangha in 6th century BC. It's our record of that. And then later, basically, you could say from the Third Council onward, the Third Council was under King Ashoka, who popularized Buddhism a great deal, spread it all over what we now call India and much of what we now call Pakistan and other places surrounding India. Then in the 6th century Common Era, so many centuries later, there were a lot of Burmese and Sri Lankan Theravadan monks of the old way, you know, not Mahayana, but Theravada. What's called Hinayana, probably in your history textbook. Hinayana means small vehicle, Mahayana means great vehicle. So it's sort of the equivalent of referring to the Tanakh or the Torah of Judaism as the Old Testament. Like, it's not exactly insulting, it's just in the particular context of Christianity, you would refer to the Tanakh as the Old Testament, but they don't call it that. They call it the Tanakh, right? So thus, Theravada is what what they call themselves. Hinayana is what the Mahayana Buddhists call them. Does that make sense? Okay, so here we have Mahayana, which developed later, started developing in the early part of the first millennium Common Era, and with an emphasis on the bodhisattvas, with an emphasis on rather than just trying to become enlightened and exit the wheel of samsara, what you really should be doing is trying to get to the point where you could leave if you want to, but then taking a vow to stay forever until all sentient beings have become enlightened. There's more to Mahayana, but that's basically what differentiates it from Theravada. Then, over the centuries, developed Vajrayana, and we have two forms of Vajrayana here. There's the Tibetan Vajrayana, commonly known as Tibetan Buddhism, and there's Shingon, which is the Japanese form of Vajrayana. And it's basically, there was the tantric movement, which involves a lot of incense and bells and working with specific deities and things like that, that was mixed in and overlaid with and added upon Mahayana, and it developed into Vajrayana. There's more to it, but that's, again, the gist, just kind of going over the most basic level in this introduction. And it was introduced into Tibet, and then it made it eastward into China, and then was brought into Japan by Kukai, and became Shingon in Japan. And thank goodness that happened, because then in around the 11th and 12th centuries, it was completely wiped out of India by invaders. And so it came to only exist in those places until recent centuries now. You can find elements of especially Tibetan Vajrayana in India. There are many forms of Tibetan Vajrayana. These are many different hats. You have the yellow hat of the Dalai Lama. You have Sakya school, the Karmapa, and Nyingma, which I mentioned earlier, and out of Nyingma came Dzogchen. And so there's that. And then over here we have Zen or Chan. Chan and Zen mean the same thing. So these are all covered on Buddhist Books podcast. But generally, the idea is that we're starting at the beginning, and we're going to focus on the beginning for a long, long, long time. However, sometimes we get into some of these other episodes. So here's how it all kind of worked out. Is the first six episodes were Dhammapada, and you can find a playlist on the YouTube channel called Dhammapada. And if you go to edwardreib.com, that's edwardreib.com, and then click on Buddhist Books Podcast, then you can find a couple of different ways of navigating that website. You'll find these six icons, the same ones that I just explained. And so whichever of those is most interesting to you, you can click that, and that will introduce and give you examples of where to go to find content on the podcast about that specific type of Buddhism. The other way is by chapter. Now, the chapters go in the order that different things were introduced on the podcast. So chapter one is Dhammapada, the first six episodes, when I read a very common, well-known book, which is right here behind me. Then episodes 7 through 22 is chapter 2, the Lotus Sutra, where you can see me kind of not have a great time reading the Lotus Sutra. Maybe you're among the few that would like to see somebody struggle with reading the Lotus Sutra and eventually decide to buy a whole bunch of books in order to read everything about Theravada to find out what the Lotus Sutra wants you to forget about and just move on to this new thing. The third chapter was while I was waiting for these books to arrive, I began reading this book on Pali literature in general. So this gives a nice kind of overview about Pali literature and early Buddhism, but it's not a translation of Buddhist scripture, but rather kind of a scholarly look generally at the overall picture of Buddhism and how it fit into Indian history. And so that's chapter 3, and it's the episodes of Buddhist Books 23 through 34. Then, again, while I was still waiting for these books to arrive, Priyal and I went to Bihar and went to Rajgir, and I really kind of, for the first time, I was aware of Jainism, but I learned a lot about it while I was there in Rajgir and decided to dive into the Jain Sutras. So we did that for 25 episodes. That's chapter 4, which you can find again on the website, or there's a playlist on the YouTube channel called Jain Sutras. And that's fun. Then after that, starting with episode 51 of Buddhist Books Podcast, we finally began reading this first book of the Tipitaka. And ever since, that's been 95% of what we've been doing on Buddhist Books Podcast. If you want my recommendation, if you just want to ask me where should I start on my journey on Buddhist Books Podcast, I would say start here with the Tipitaka, episode 1. That's the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of Buddhism. It's not the beginning of the podcast, but it's the beginning of Buddhism. So there you go. Dhammapada is a good read. Tipitaka starts out with a lot of rules. So for a lot of episodes or more, it's all just rules. And so if you want a little taste of Theravadan teachings, then start with Dhammapada. That's the beginning of the Buddhist Books Podcast, and it's this book here somewhere in the middle of the second of the three baskets of pre-sectarian early Buddhism. Then chapter 6 was Padmasambhava. Now on another podcast, I have several. There's the Esoteric Nerd podcast episode something rather. We started with the Padmasambhava. I think I just pointed to Padmasambhava playlist. Anyway, the first two episodes of the Padmasambhava recitals, The Life and Liberation of Padmasambhava by Yeshe Tsogyal, are on the Esoteric Nerd podcast. Then I began reciting them every 10 episodes on Buddhist Books Podcast, starting with Buddhist Books Podcast episode 120, and then 130, 140, 150. Every 10 episodes, we'd read some more of the life and liberation of Padmasambhava. So if you're interested in that, again, Padmasambhava, you can find it by clicking the Tibetan Vajrayana icon on the website, or on Chapter 6, Padmasambhava, on the website. Or, again, the Padmasambhava playlist here on the YouTube channel. There's also individual separate podcasts that are audio only that are available on every podcasting platform for each of these, most of these sections. I think even Lotus Sutra has one. Except for Pali Scriptures, I don't think there's one. But Jain Sutras has its own podcast. Tipitaka has its own podcast. Dhammapada has its own podcast, I think. Maybe it doesn't. There's the main one called Buddhist Books Podcast that has everything. There's a Padmasambhava podcast. And there's a Shingon podcast. That's the one that we started most recently. And that's Chapter 7 on the website. It has its own playlist. Shingon, as of now, as I'm speaking to you, there's only one episode there. But every 10 episodes, I'll be reciting from a book about Shingon. The Matrix and Diamond Mandalas in Shingon Buddhism. And that'll be, that was 215, next one will be 225. So every episode that ends in 5 is going to be Shingon. Every episode that ends in 0 is Padmasambhava. And most of the other episodes are pre-sectarian early Buddhism, except for sometimes we do a special episode randomly on one of the 2 or 3 episodes, or 7 or 8. Whenever I decide to do a special episode, we do that. And that includes movie reactions. We reacted to Shanzan, which is a movie about a monk in the 6th century Common Era. He was a Mahayana monk. He came from China and brought back over 600 Mahayana scriptures from Nalanda University in Bihar. And it's a movie about his life, and it's very good. I don't know how many times I've pointed to the corner of the screen. This, I assume, will be my last. That's Shanzan. Other movie reactions include Kundun, the life story of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, directed by Martin Scorsese, buried by Disney at the request of the Prime Minister of China. Anyway, and then a movie called Zen that was made in 2009, and it's about the life of Master Dogen. There's also Tipitaka Rogues Gallery. Okay, so in the beginning of the Tipitaka, the first 3 books, there's a lot of monks and nuns that are named, given specific names, Upananda, Khandakali, different monks and nuns that get into trouble in various ways. So over time, you start to get to know these particular naughty monks and nuns, and based on the mistakes they make that result in Lord Buddha having to establish new rules for them, for the Sangha forever. So that's fun. Tipitaka Rogues Gallery is where I introduce all of the characters that we had met up to that point. And since I have a captive audience right now, and since this thing I'm about to show you doesn't make a whole lot of sense to most people, what it is it's the cast of the nuns that and some monks that are spoken about in Bhikkhuni Vibhanga, which is the rules for nuns. And so here is the cast of so each nun is like a character who's being portrayed by a particular actor, and these actors in this case are cartoon characters. So I'll just let it play and then we'll come back to me. Thank you. Yeah, so that's the cast of the nuns and some of the monks that relate to some of the stories of some of the naughty nuns, and it's fun. Bhikkhuni Vibhanga. I hope that I can link you to it. If not, then you didn't see a link just then. And finally, episode 182 was Suryangama Sutra, which is a Mahayana, technically esoteric Mahayana scripture that I particularly enjoy, and so I wanted to include a reading of that. And there you have it. So hopefully that's as clear as mud at this point, and you might have some idea of how to navigate the Buddhist Books Podcast website, how to navigate the Buddhist Books Podcast YouTube channel, and what where you might want to start. And whatever your particular interest is, you can probably find something that recited and commented on that subject. And there you have it. That's my introduction to Buddhist Books Podcast for 2024. And I will close this introduction the way I close every episode, which is with the prayer that concluded the morning rituals that my dad taught me when I was very young. It goes like this. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Oh.